Welcome to the Kitchen Counter Podcast, episode 113, Timing in the Kitchen. Hey everybody, thank you so much for downloading and listening to this episode of the show. I'm Roger, your host, and this is the podcast. It's all about home cooking, getting in the kitchen, having more fun, learning some tips and tricks to make our time more effective. And that's what we're going to be talking about today a little bit. We're going to be tackling the age-old question of when I'm cooking at home and I'm preparing a meal, how do I do it so everything is done at the same time? So we're going to get into that in a few minutes. But before I jump into the topic at hand, I want to remind everybody that you can send me emails over to feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com. I love hearing from you. Even if you just want to say hello, or if you have questions you'd like me to cover on a future episode, that sort of a thing, feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com. You can also find me skulking around over on Facebook at facebook.com/kitchencounterpodcast and Twitter at TKC Podcast. So always happy to hear from you. Please don't be bashful. Send over a note. I read everything I get and I respond to each and every one of you. Also, just one more quick bit of housekeeping. I'm not sure how you listen to the podcast. You could certainly be going to my website over to kitchencounterpodcast.com and clicking into any particular post for an episode, and you can listen to the embedded player there to listen to the episodes. Or perhaps you're listening to it on your favorite smartphone device and app, like Apple Podcasts or maybe Stitcher. But just as a reminder, if you're listening to the podcast from a place that's not necessarily your favorite, I will remind you that we are available on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play Music, and we're also available on Spotify, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn Radio as well. So if any of those places are where you really, really prefer to listen to podcasts from, the show is available in all those places. And you can find links to those over in the show notes for today's episode at kitchencounterpodcast.com/113. So let's jump into the topic at hand today, talking about timing your cooking and your meals in the kitchen. This is something I hear a lot about, not really frequently, but I've heard about it a lot over time. In fact, just the other day I was talking to someone and the conversation, however, for whatever reason, drifted over to cooking. And this person mentioned to me that they find cooking at home for their family to be a real hassle, not necessarily because they don't have time to do it. They do have a reasonable amount of time to cook at home, but what they find is that the act of cooking for them is kind of stressful because when they cook a meal and they're cooking somewhat like traditional meals where you might have a protein and a vegetable and another side dish that might be a starch or another vegetable, they're finding that when they cook meals, it's very stressful to make everything ready at the same time. So when they sit down to eat with their family, everything's on the table and ready to go, and they're not all sitting around waiting for one piece to finish cooking while the other side dishes are done and getting cold, and that sort of a thing. So because of that, they just don't enjoy cooking, and it's something they've never really gotten a handle on. So I thought, well, you know, I've never talked about that on the show, so I think it's appropriate because it is a fundamental skill and a method to use in the kitchen when you're cooking is learning how to time your meal. So I thought today I would offer a few tips for how to make life easier when it comes to getting all your food on the table at the same time. So, you know, this is hard to do. If you're cooking fairly complicated meals where you have several different components coming together for the meal, it can be hard to make everything come out and ready at the same time. And it's something that takes a little bit of effort and work, and it's something that just doesn't magically happen or you necessarily get magically good at. It happens to all of us. We'll run into situations where we just, you know, we're not restaurant efficient. We just don't get everything done, mainly because unlike a restaurant, for example, we don't have two or three or more people working on different dishes, so they all come out at the same time. Usually one of us or maybe two of us is responsible for making everything work and come out at the same time at home. So it's a lot more difficult, and it just takes a little bit of effort. So let's go through some tips that I hope will help you get a handle around making all of your components for your dinner come out at the same time so your family can all eat a nice hot meal, if that's the case, without sitting around waiting for other components to finish. And I'll just call these tips, for lack of a better term. So let's move on to tip number one. This is the first piece of advice I would offer people who want to cook at home, cook dinners, cook meals for their family, but do find it stressful that there's so many components and there's so much going on and it's hard to get everything on the table at once. I would say don't cook meals that require multiple components. So cook more one pot dinners, cook more sheet pan dinners, cook more crock pot meals. Do more dinners and meals that are, you know, nutritionally well-rounded, have all your components, your vegetables, your proteins, whatever it is you're trying to get into your meal, but just prepare them in a way so they're naturally all done at the same time, right? Soups, stews, salads, sheet pan dinners, those sorts of things are great for weeknight meals especially. They're very easy to make generally, and you never have to worry about, other than maybe warming up some bread or tossing a quick green salad together. You never really have to worry about all of these different components needing to get done at the same time, because the meal itself, by its very nature, if it's a one pot type of a meal, will get done at the same time. So I know that's kind of a lame answer or a lame tip or even a cop out for timing in the kitchen. But if you do find timing your meals stressful, this is a great way to cut down on that. It doesn't mean you have to eat all of your meals this way as a one pot type of thing, but incorporate a few more of those into your routine and you won't have to worry as much about multiple components and things getting crazy in your kitchen. Now, my second tip, again, isn't directly related to timing all of your components and your meals, but it will go a long way towards making that just an easier process in general. And this is something I've talked about on other episodes. And as much as you can prep your ingredients and your components ahead of time, the better. So one of the challenges people have when they're working on dinner and they're trying to make everything work cohesively is that oftentimes there's just too much to do. You don't have time to prepare everything efficiently. If you have three or four components to your meal, maybe you're just too busy. Maybe you're very slow at cutting vegetables, which is totally fine. But the more time you take to cut vegetables, for example, the less time you're going to have to do other things that the meal requires. You're going to be able to focus less on other components. So as much prep that you can get done before you even need to think about working on your meal, the better. And this also includes, if you're meal planning for the week, making ingredients and components that can do double duty. So I've often talked about, if you're going to roast a chicken, for example, perhaps roast two chickens at the same time and use one of those for your meal that day, for example, and use the other roast chicken, toss it in the fridge and use it a couple days later for a different meal. The great thing about that, of course, is you won't have to spend time that second meal roasting a chicken. It'll be done and ready to go for you. So the more you can prep ahead of time, the more you can cut up vegetables, the more you can cook other components that will keep in the fridge for a day or two for your meals in the future, the more time you'll be able to focus on any given meal that you're making, you know, later that week, for example. And it's just going to make your life a lot easier. It'll make it a lot more simple to time your meals so that all of the components are coming out and ready to eat at the same time. All right. Now, I mentioned at the very beginning that this sort of stuff takes effort, and it takes a lot of planning. I mean, planning is really the key here when you're timing your meals. And if you're not a natural born planner, it does take some effort. You do have to be a little more intentional about it. You have to think a little more clearly and ahead of time about it. And the first thing you need to do when you're planning any sort of a meal and you're looking at how you're going to time this to make sure it's ready on time and make sure all the components are done at the same time, is you have to understand what you're making, which means you really need to read through your recipes and understand how long in total each component of your meal is going to take. Even if you're not going from a recipe, if you're making something that you just simply know how to make that's fairly simple, you'll still need to take into account how long it takes to prep that component, how long it takes to cook that component, and if there's any post-cooking time involved, like resting And when you take something out of the oven, for example, you need to understand from beginning prep to post, you know, the rest or whatever it is, you need to understand what the entire scope of time is for that component. So reading your recipe through from beginning to end to know what those requirements are, and then understanding the difference between active and passive time, because that's going to matter a lot when you look at your other meal components. So let's just take a generic example here so I can make this a little more clear. Let's say we're looking at a meal that consists of, we'll just use our chicken example, roasting a chicken. And let's say we simply want to cook some rice to go along with that, and we'd like to roast some asparagus to go along with that. So that's our meal, a roasted chicken, rice, and asparagus. So following what I just said, I need to know how long each one of those components really takes in real time to make. The other thing I would add on to all of this, and it's just basically another tip, is writing this stuff down is extremely helpful. This is a long time trick of caterers when they have a lot of different components and a lot of work to do to pull off a complicated meal. Your meals aren't going to be nearly as complicated as most catered dinners are, but it's still a method that works, and that is just to write everything down. It can be on a sheet of paper. That's what I do. I just grab a sheet of notebook paper and write it down if I need to. If you have a whiteboard in the kitchen or something like that, that would work as well. But what I would do, what my method would be, is I would say, okay, we're going to do roast chicken, rice, and asparagus. So for a roast chicken, and I'll just use some general guidelines here. So figure it's going to take about 10 minutes to prep it, you know, clean it up, stuff it, whatever it is you're going to do, get the roasting rack out, that sort of a thing. We'll just say 10 minutes for that. Let's say we look at the weight and the temperature, and it's going to take about an hour and 15 minutes to roast. And then when we take it out of the oven, we'll probably want it to rest for maybe 15 minutes. So that's an hour and 40 minutes total for the roasted chicken. Okay. Now, I mentioned a second ago that you want to understand the difference between active and passive time. So for a roasted chicken, that 10-minute prep, that's all active time. And active time means it's hands-on, you're focused on that component, you really can't do anything else. It needs your attention and your time. So for that 10 minutes, active time. The hour and 15 minutes it's roasting, I would call passive time, because it's in the oven and you really don't need to do anything with it. It's just in there doing its thing. You don't need to focus on it or concentrate on it. You can do other things during that hour and 15 minutes. And that 15-minute rest, similarly, when you take it out of the oven and let it rest, that's generally passive time. You don't need to really do anything with it until, you know, you go to carve it up to serve it. Now, our other components in this dinner, rice and asparagus. So let's figure for the rice, it's going to take about 20 minutes to prep and cook, and we're just going to do the stovetop method. And I usually let my rice sit for a few minutes afterwards. We'll just say 5 minutes after I pull it off of the heat. So that's about 25 minutes there, mostly passive cooking time. And then the asparagus, I'm going to roast that. So that's about a 5-minute prep to trim up the asparagus, toss it with a little olive oil and salt, and then about a 15-minute roasting time for 20 minutes total there. So what we've got an hour and 40 for the chicken, 25 minutes for the rice, 20 minutes for the asparagus. Now, we understand the total time that we're taking to make all of these components, and we have a general idea of what's active and passive time. And actually, just as I went through this, I wrote this all out on a note card in front of me just so I have this right with me here so I don't have to remember any of this. It's right there. Now, if you're looking to serve dinner at a certain time, what you want to do is figure out when all of this is going to be happening and work backwards from your serving time to find the time that you want to begin preparing all of this. Now, if you're just wondering how long it's going to take me to cook all of this, it's the same process. You just add the time onto whenever your start time is, if that makes sense. Now, the chicken in this scenario takes the longest to cook out of everything, and it's going to be the item that everything else revolves around. It's if the chicken isn't done, we can't really serve the rest of the side dishes, because there's about an hour and a half of passive time with the chicken. That's all time that I can essentially work on my side dishes, my vegetable and my asparagus and my rice. So I'm going to say total dinner time here is an hour and 40 minutes. You don't add up the time for all of the components and say that's how long it takes to make dinner, because while the chicken is roasting, we're going to work on the rice and we're going to work on the asparagus. Okay, hopefully that makes sense so far and I'm not rambling on too much here. But I've written this down, and if you are, you know, all of the time to prep in the active and passive times. Now, if you're really somebody who likes structure and plans, what you can do here is you can write times on it like a master time. You can write the actual time you need to do these steps on the right hand side of your list, for example. Or one other thing I recommend is if you know now, I know this is going to take me an hour and 40 minutes to cook all of these three components and have them come out at the same time. I can start a master clock somewhere. Maybe it's my iPhone timer or the microwave timer or something like that. I can set a timer for an hour and 40 minutes as soon as I start. So as the master clock is ticking down from an hour and 40 minutes, I know when I get to an hour and 30 minutes left, that's 10 minutes of my chicken prep time, I should probably have that chicken popped in the oven and beginning to roast, you know, for example. Then I know, as I've got a little passive time, probably nothing needs to be done, but I know when I have about 25 minutes left on that timer, my rice needs to be at the very start of its cooking. It needs to be boiling, and I'm turning the temperature down, for example, so it can simmer on the stovetop. And when there's about 20 minutes left, I know I need to be getting that asparagus on a roasting pan and getting it ready to put into the oven. And what's awesome about this scenario is if I'm taking the roast chicken out and letting it rest for 15 minutes, as soon as I could do that, I can pop the asparagus into the oven and give it its 15 minutes roasting time while the chicken's resting and the rice is finishing on the stovetop. So you can use a master clock and time your meal like that, or you can just, you know, look at whatever clock you have handy in your kitchen and say, okay, I know at 6:30 I need to have dinner ready, and then, you know, work backwards from there and say at 5 o'clock I need to have the chicken roasting in the oven, at 6 o'clock I need to start the rice, and at 6:10 I need to start the asparagus, or something like that. So you could do it either way, but just being very conscious of the time, writing it down, tracking it on some sort of a timer or a clock will make a huge difference, and you'll be able to time all your components to come out at the same time. If you're not paying attention to the time overall, there's virtually no way, just other than sheer luck or coincidence, you're really going to get your meal to come out right. You know, most of the time for weeknight dinners, you might not need to go into this much level of detail, because most of the time weeknight dinners, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, in your particular case, aren't so complicated that you can't almost kind of wing it, like, oh, I'm going to make grilled cheese sandwiches and tomato soup. I mean, there's not a lot of in-depth timing and planning you need to do for that, as opposed to, say, cooking Thanksgiving dinner for your family, where this method is completely invaluable. And I do this for very complicated meals all the time. But food that you cook on a regular basis and you're comfortable with cooking and you understand how they're going to turn out and how long they take, you might not need to do any writing or any master timing at all. You can almost just work it out in your head. And that's totally fine, too. And then last thing I would say is, the best laid plans rarely work out that way. I've timed out this meal, for example. But what happens if the chicken's not done in time and it's going to take an extra 15 minutes or so to get to done temperature? And let's say I've already cooked the rice and I didn't realize that the chicken was going to take extra time or something like that. You know, you can use in whatever you're cooking, you can use your oven to hold things at temperature. So you can usually turn your oven on at the lowest setting, for example, and keep things warm and a good temperature while things on the stovetop finish. If the chicken is done early and you didn't start the rice in time, for example, you can let your chicken rest and cover it with some foil and it will hold temperature for a while. while your rice finishes. So don't be afraid to cover dishes, to keep dishes in the oven on low, to keep things warm while you're trying to land the other components of your meal so everything can get on the table at the same time. Okay, so let me just recap some of those tips. Hopefully that all made sense and I didn't go through it too willy-nilly. But one, if you're really concerned about all the components of your meals getting done at the same time so you can all sit down and eat at once, don't make meals with so many different components. Do a lot more one-pot meals or sheet pan dinners or crock-pot dinners or things like that. That'll obviously cut down on the stress of getting all your components done at the same time. Prep as much as you can ahead of time. It'll make you less worried during the preparation of your meals, and you won't have to focus as much on the individual components if some of them are already complete, which will give you more time to focus on the overall timing of the dinner to make sure everything comes out at once. Always read your recipes through clearly so you understand how much total time your dishes take, how much passive and active time, and how you can integrate all of the components into your overall timeline so you know when you can work on things and where you can fit them in so they're all done at the same time. Writing all your components down and writing the times that it will take them and the times on your master clock or your master timer when they need to be started is very helpful. It will not only help you time everything correctly, it will help you avoid the dreaded, everything's done. Oh, where are the potatoes? You know, nobody started the potatoes. So it will help you cut down on those errors as well. And then lastly, if things don't quite turn out the exact time you expected them, keep them warm in the oven, cover them to keep them warm. If your chicken, you know, for example, isn't done yet, crank up the heat a little bit and maybe you can trim off 5 or 10 minutes off the cook time. All right, everybody, that does it for one more episode of the Kitchen Counter Podcast. Once again, if you'd like to send me an email, shoot me a note over to feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com. You can also head over to kitchencounterpodcast.com/113 for the show notes to this episode. Well, thank you so much for tuning in once again to the Kitchen Counter Podcast. I really appreciate you taking the time to stop by and listen to maybe not the most glamorous topic in the world, but an important one for home cooks nonetheless. All right, everybody, until next time, I'm Roger with the Kitchen Counter Podcast. Happy cooking.